Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad that you have joined us today. And we're going to have a great show. And it's always fun to be here live in the studio, which we have been now for almost 5 years. And that's going to celebrate a big old anniversary here, Nan, in April 15th.
April 15th.
It's coming up.
It's coming up in two ways. April 15th is coming up.
Yeah, tax day.
Tax day. We'll be having more fun than a lot of people doing their last minute filing.
That's right, because we're going to be here celebrating our 5 years on the air on this radio station right here around this table. And that's exciting. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here live today with you, with Nan Watson. And then Carol will join us in a little while. And we always enjoy these shows, don't we, Nan? It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just enjoy sharing the word
yes.
and talking about what God is doing, and he is doing so much in so many lives, isn't he?
He is.
What a blessing. I don't know about you, but every day it just seems like the blessings of God are richer, they are more, there are more answers to prayer, praise reports. There were people trying to get praise reports as we were trying to start the service
this
morning.
Yes, they were. They were very excited
isn't that
about
great?
Their praise. It was fantastic.
It is.
It was fantastic.
I mean, that's the way we want it. We want people to be happy to be able to share what God is doing in their lives. And so what a joy it is.
Well, you know, it's kind of cool because that kind of adds excitement
there you go.
To us too, because you know they're giving praise reports, and then you think, oh yeah, and you start thinking of praises that you have that God has blessed you with, answered prayers, whatever.
Right.
And it just kind of builds excitement.
What is a praise report for some of our listening audience out there that may say, well, what is that? What's a praise report?
Well, it's I have a need, some sort of need, whatever type of need, and begin to pray about it, and even get my fellow church members to pray about it.
Sure.
And then the answer comes through, or things work out okay, is the way to put it. Things work out okay.
Right.
Things come through, and, you know, it all comes together at the end, and then you can give a praise report.
You can say, look what God did.
Look what God
did. We praise God for the answer and the victory. And so that's what's happening. There's been so many of those lately. But we've been experiencing that for quite a while, just God's answers to prayer. Tremendous. The prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Who can use that, Nan?
Anybody can use
that.
They don't have to be part of Beacon to use the prayer line. Anybody.
Right, yeah. And so they just write a prayer request to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And then what happens once that prayer request comes in to the line?
Well, we have designated people who actually check that on a continual basis. They will put the request back out, and they will also pray a prayer in that email that goes out to everyone who has signed up to be part of our prayer team.
Right.
And that's really cool because sometimes maybe you don't even know exactly how to pray for a specific thing. You can actually pray that prayer. So it's kind of helpful that way too. You know?
It's great. And it teaches you how to pray the word too, because a lot of times it's praying the word of God in that prayer. So if you have a prayer need, we encourage you to use our 24/7/365. Prayer line, crisis prayer line. And again, that is simply prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. There are sometimes, Nan, that people are in crisis and they need to talk to a live person. And we do have the telephone line, the crisis line, and it is 813-417-3377. I'll give you that again if some of you need to write that down in case you do have a prayer need. 813-417-3377. If the line is not picked up, leave a message and your call will be returned just as soon as possible. So, we have that available to people so that when they are in crisis and have a need and have a need for prayer, you know, for people to come together and lift up their situation to God, that they have people who will do that. We're on standby, ready to help.
Right. It's very, I've utilized the prayer line. I know you have utilized
many times, all the time. Yeah.
One specific thing I can remember was a situation was happening at work. I became very anxious in the situation, became very upset, and actually had to walk out and go find a nice little quiet place somewhere. And I'm texting on my phone to the prayer line as I'm walking out, going, God help me, God help me. And I'm putting out my prayer request at the same time. You know?
Yeah, your prayer request out. That's great, though. It's wonderful to have that ability that you know you can reach out to somebody in your time of need. So that's exciting. And so we welcome each of you out there, no matter what country you're in, what area of the United States you might be in. You do not have to be a part of Beacon of Hope, which is what Nan mentioned, to utilize our prayer line. And we have a lot of prayers that want to take your request to God and intercede for you.
We take it very seriously because when people email in their prayer request, it's serious or they wouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Today on this show, we are going to finish a series that I have begun several weeks back called God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And we're on the glory part. And did we have a glorious service today, Nan?
We had a glorious service today, Pastor.
We did. So many people received ministry. The music was just incredible.
Yes.
It was so great to be in the house of the Lord in that place of meeting God, which we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to access the glory of God. What does that mean in your life? How does it translate? We're going to go to the book of Exodus again, where we were last week. So if you have your Bibles, you can find that while we play this first song. It's one of my favorite artists. His name is Terry McCallum, and he writes almost all of the stuff that are on his albums. I think most of it is original, and just a tremendous man of God. Yesterday when I was in my mother's room, she's not doing very well, getting ready to go meet the Lord pretty soon. I put one of his CDs in her player beside her bed. I came to worship and she was just, you know, not really awake or whatever, but I was praising God and my mom was just there. And I just felt like that was so good to be able to usher her into the presence of God. And that's how you feel when you hear this song by Terry McCallum, You're My Glory, track 4.
You're all we want to see. You're my glory. You're my glory, Lord, and the lifter of my head. For thou, Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the
Praise God. Oh, I love that song. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. That comes from Psalm 3. And let's start there before we get back to Exodus. These are words of David in Psalm 3. And here's what David says. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We got so much coming against us. How many rise up against me? This is Psalm 3. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Maybe some of you out there right now feel that there is so much coming at you that there's no way that God's going to get you out of this mess. And David felt this when he was fleeing from his own son, Absalom, who was trying to take over the throne of Israel and kick David out and actually kill his own father. And in Psalm 3, David starts out, goes, whoa, Lord, I've got so much coming against me. How many have risen up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But here's verse 3, Psalm 3, verse 3. Good way to remember it. 3 is the Trinity, the fullness of God. Psalm 3, 3. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift my head. That's where that song comes from. Psalm 3, verse 3. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the 10,000s drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. 8 short verses, Psalm 3. That's where that song comes from. David says, Lord, you're my glory, and the lifter of my head. And there are times that we need our heads lifted up, don't we, Nan, from circumstances around
most
us.
Definitely.
Wow. And let's go back to Exodus now and see why Moses needed that glory of the Lord to lift him up. He had experienced an amazing time with God Almighty back in Exodus 19, where we were last week. And Moses had been up there on the mountain with God, and God had spoken to him. And down in verse 8 of Exodus 19, where we were last week, the people were responding to everything that God said through Moses, because God told the people through Moses that he had carried them out of Egypt, that he had carried them on eagle's wings, and he brought them to this place where he was going to bless them in the new promised land. Actually, at this point, they were in the wilderness getting ready to go to the promised land. But in verse 8 of Exodus 19, the people were unanimous in their response. And here's what they said. Everything God says, we will do. Hmm. And Moses took the people's answer back to God. And if you tuned in last week, you'll know what happened from that point on, that the people said, yes, we will do what God says. And then there was this tremendous visitation of the Lord with thunder and lightning and the trumpet blast. And it was amazing. And if you missed this teaching last week on the glory of the Lord, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can always go back to the old shows. And we've got the show on there already. So you can go back and listen and catch up with where we are. But now we're going to Exodus chapter 32. Now there's been 38 to 39 days between Exodus 19 and Exodus 32. Nan, that doesn't seem like a lot of time to me. Only 38 or 39 days. Not like months, years, right, or decades. You know, it was a short period of time. Moses was up on the mountain with God again. He had experienced, he had come down, talked to the children of Israel. He had been there present when God spoke the Ten Commandments. He first spoke them before he wrote them on the tablets of stone. Mm. And that's Exodus 19. So those of you listening want to go back and pick that whole story up at some point. It's fascinating. God actually spoke. God actually showed his presence and his glory with thunder and lightning and a long trumpet blast. And the people were like, whoa, God was trying to get their attention. He was trying to get their attention, and he does that with us. Nan, he tries to get our attention so that we can move further into the glory of the Lord instead of just walking around in our own junk all the time. you know, which God wants us to come out of that junk, right. You know. He wants us to really experience this. So now we go to Exodus 32. Now, I taught a little bit on this morning, Nan, and I found it fascinating in Exodus 32, how the people could go in 38 or 39 days from everything you say, Lord, we will do. I mean, now that's, I mean, yes, okay, we are going to do what God tells us to do. And then to get to Exodus 32 in only 38 or 39 days, and now they are like bitter. They're mad. They're resentful. It's been just a few days. Moses has been up on the mountain with God all that time, and now they're mad. And I don't know about you, but I find that it's possible for humans to switch like that very quick.
They do sometimes.
We do.
We do. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. You're right. We do. When the answer doesn't come soon enough, you know, we have this time period. Okay, I'm praying about this right now, yeah. And I think it should be done within 2 weeks. And then you've gone 2 months, and right. It hasn't been done. You know, and sometimes we right. just say, forget this. I'm going to do it my way.
Exactly.
If you're waiting on a decision, answer to a decision or something, well, I'm just, you're not going to give me an answer. I'll figure one out.
I'll figure
and
one out.
When we figure it out, it usually turns out to be a
when
fiasco.
We do it our way, it's
absolutely
bad.
It's pretty bad.
And that's what happened here with the children of Israel, because in Exodus 32, they got impatient waiting on Moses. And so they said, you know what? Let's just make ourselves a new God to lead us to the promised land. How ridiculous and atrocious is that? And when Carol comes on, though, we're going to talk about those gods in our lives, those priorities that some of us have that keep us mm-hmm. from the best that God has for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. How quickly, you know, he showed himself to them in the 19th chapter.
Right.
I mean, what wonderful things he did. He showed himself and he did all the things he did.
Right.
And then just a little over a month later,
right.
You know, decide, well, we don't like that God anymore. We're going to make a God. Now, of course, you make a God out of a gold, but it's just there. That's not a God.
It's
that's
just
a statue.
A pile of gold.
Yeah, it's a
exactly.
pile of gold, you know?
Which is what they did in Exodus 32. They got Aaron, and Aaron was Moses' brother. And Aaron, it was not the man that Moses was. He was a people pleaser. He was, as I said earlier, codependent. And Aaron said to the people, just take off all your gold. Take off all your rings and all your jewelry. They had gotten all that gold. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And they came out of Egypt. God did a tremendous miracle to get them across the Red Sea. And the Red right. Sea stood up on both sides, 75 feet of frozen water. And God took them across the Red Sea in dry ground. And he had done all these things, yet now they're saying, we want a different God. You know, we want a different God. Oh, my. You know? And as they left Egypt, as prophesied, the Egyptians gave them all this gold and all this incredible jewelry. You know? They gave them all this stuff. So now when they want a God made for them, now they're out in the middle of the wilderness, but they have all this jewelry. So, absolutely. Aaron says, sure. Okay. No problem. And he gets all this bling. He gets all this jewelry, you know, from the children of Israel, all these gold necklaces and rings and everything. And it says in Exodus 32, in about verse 2-4, that Aaron took the gold from their hands and cast it in the form of a calf, shaped it with an engraving tool. And the people responded, okay, these are our gods. And amazing, amazing, who brought you up from Egypt. And Aaron, instead of just saying, no, there's no way this could be God. This isn't God. This is a golden calf. Aaron builds an altar in front of the calf just to make the things worse, you know. He just goes along with the people, you know.
He had no backbone.
No backbone. Ooh, no backbone. I actually wrote that was two words in my Bible and never said them this morning, but Aaron had no backbone whatsoever. He just succumbed to what the people wanted. In fact, Aaron actually announced that they would have a feast to Jehovah, but as the next day, but what that feast was a celebration of this new golden calf. So it was amazing apostasy, you know, turning from the real God, the holy God, Jehovah God, El Shaddai, Elohim, you know, all the names we know him to be, and instead turning and worshiping a golden calf. And it says here, can you read verse 6 Yeah, verse 6. And your, what do you have, King James?
I have King James.
Yeah, Nan's our King James queen here. All right.
And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
They rose up to play. Message part, Bible, it says they began to party.
Party. They partied hardy.
Uh-huh. And it turned into a wild party.
Uh-oh.
Now in verse 7 of Exodus 32, God speaks to Moses, and Moses is still up there. His 40 days are almost complete. This is either day number 38 or day number 39. And Moses says, God says to Moses, you better get down there. And this is the first time that Moses and God play this thing back and forth trying to get rid of the people. Because God says to Moses, your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have fallen to pieces. In no time at all, they've turned away from the way I commanded them. They made a molten calf, and they worshipped it. They've sacrificed to it, and they said, these are the gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. And, you know, this is such extreme apostasy, because now God is saying to Moses, you know what they did? They didn't just, you know, build this golden calf, this idol, but now they're giving God's glory, the glory that is due God, has gone and been ascribed to a calf. How do you think that made God feel?
Just an object. I mean, just
an object. A table, whatever.
You know, just something that's not living.
Not living at all. And God says, wait a minute, look what they've done. Look what they've done. So instead of God, and you know how he loves to get the honor and the glory and the praise for the things he does, and rightly so in our lives. That's why we have praise reports where we talk about what God has done, you know? And where David, the Psalm 3 that we just read, where David gives God the glory, you're my glory and the lifter of my head. You know, you're the one that pulls me out of the messes I'm in. And here, instead of the children of Israel sitting around and worshiping God and waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain, they get impatient, which we all get sometimes. They get into unbelief. They get into doubt. They get into worry. They get into fear. They get into anxiety. You know, all those things that are common to human beings, you know. But they, instead of just dealing with those emotions, they take it a step further and take it to the place of just huge apostasy, you know, coming against God. And so here God says to Moses in verse 9 of Exodus 32, if you just joined us, I look at this people, oh, what a stubborn, hard-headed people. What does it say in 9 and 10 in your King James?
It says that they're stiff-necked people.
Stiff-necked, okay. Yeah. And God says, let me alone, Moses. I'm going to incinerate them. my anger, so that my anger can burn them up. God wanted to just burn them up, the whole lot of them. You know, but I'll make a great nation out of you, Moses. You know, whatever that means, Moses, you'll have to have more kids, whatever. We're going to start over. We're going to start this project over because these people have really turned against God, you know. And he calls them stiff-necked. And we're going to talk about that whole concept, too, in a few minutes, about being stiff-necked and how God feels about that and what that does in our spiritual lives when we are that way. So Moses tries to calm God down. I love this. And this is the first place of intercession that Moses actually tries to intercede for the people a couple times. And this is one of them. And so, and why don't you read, Nan, 11 to 13 of Exodus 32.
And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with the mighty hand? Wherefore shall the Egyptians seek and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them with the face of the earth, from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.
Wow. So God is saying here He wants to just burn them all up. And Moses goes, wait a minute, God. Let's paraphrase this.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, God. You're not going to do that. You don't want to do that. You promised. You promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is Israel. You promised them that their descendants were going to be the ones that would carry the Messiah. That's really what he's saying here. That would absolutely fulfill the plan of God. They are your chosen people. We are your chosen people. No way, God. You don't want to burn everybody up. You want to stand true to your promises.
You know, you said, and that reminds me of something you said this morning about reminding God the promises that he has made to us. You know, and so, that, you know.
But we should. We should.
We should.
Because God so often says, remind me, put us in agreement. Mm. There's verses in Isaiah. I think it's, can't tell you the exact verse. I'm thinking it's about Isaiah 65, but I'm not sure. Where he says, argue your case before me. Mm. Put me in remembrance of what I promised you. You know, and God always fulfills his promises.
Right.
So there are times that we can go to God and say, wait a minute, God, you promised here.
Mm-hmm.
You promised that no weapon formed against me would prosper.
Right.
You promised that greater is he that's in me, right, than he that's in the world. You promised that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You have promised these things to me. And this is what Moses does here. He intercedes for the children of Israel. And what happens to God? What does God do about this? In verse 14.
He repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people.
Yeah, he was going to do all this, and he changed his mind, right?
Yeah, he kind of did, oops.
he said,
okay.
And you know, maybe he really wasn't going to do this. Maybe it was just an attitude of, I should burn them all up. But Moses got in there in intercession and was able to stop that carnage, you know. So in verse 15, Moses turns around and comes down from the mountain carrying the two tablets of the testimony, which it was where the Ten Commandments had been written on by the finger of God. During those 38, 39 days that Moses was on the mountain with God, supposed to be 40. Maybe it was 40 by the time he got down. But during that time up there, God had spoken the Ten Commandments back in Exodus 19. During those 40 days, God wrote with his finger, okay, the absolute commandments there on those tablets. And they were written on the front and on the back. He ran out of room on the front, so he had to go to the back. Yeah. And God made the tablets and wrote the tablets and engraved them. Now, they're coming down from the mountain, and Joshua is the apprentice to Moses. As we know, Joshua took over leading the people, children of Israel, into the promised land. And Joshua says to Moses, hey, wait a minute, I hear noise. I hear shouting. And Moses says, what you're hearing is this party going on, because God had already let Moses know that the people were up to no good, you know, down there. And so they came close to the camp, and they saw the calf and the people dancing, and God's anger flared. And actually, I'm sorry, Moses' anger flared. God had already flared up on the mountain. And Moses was like, whoa. And so what did he do, Nan? What did Moses do out of anger there in 19 and 20 of Exodus 32?
Didn't he throw the tablets?
He did.
He threw the tablets down. You know, it's almost, I mean, I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons God prepared him to let him know this was going to be happening, so maybe he wouldn't do something with his tablets. I don't know. You know, just a thought, you know.
But he did it anyway. They broke, you know. And we know later on, in a couple chapters later, God writes them again on tablets again.
He's a fair God.
He is. You know, he goes back and says, all right, let's do a do-over here, you know. So we know he makes it right eventually. And so we're talking here about what happens when people get into rebellion. They get into unbelief. They get into doubt. They get into impatience. Oh, of course, none of us are ever like that, are we?
Oh, I never had a rebellious spirit, right, Connie? If she's listening.
She's probably listening. Yeah. Carol, have you joined us from Georgia here?
I'm just sitting back and listening.
I tell you, Carol, we are all like this, aren't we? There are times in our lives we are rebellious. We get into unbelief. We get into fear. We get into anxiety. We get into doubt and worry, and we think, no way is God going to pull off this situation on our behalf. I mean, and also speaking then tying that back into Psalm 3, Carol, about what David wrote there, you're my glory and the lifter of my head, because his own son Absalom was trying to steal the throne from David. And yet David realized, God, you're the one that's going to do this. You're the one that's going to lift me up in the midst of this mess. And I don't know about you, Carol, but I think this picture shows humankind for what we can be sometimes, you know?
Definitely, but I also think that you cannot have your thunder stolen or your golden tablets torn apart if you've been ordained by God and touched by him to do his work.
Right.
It may appear that other folk can tear you apart and you can get lost and strayed and wander and other people can beat you up pretty bad. But if you set your life on his beliefs and following him, you'll walk through some really tough times, because those are the times that you fall on your knees and you get closer to God.
Oh, absolutely. And don't you think that's exactly what happened with Moses? Because Moses really had to deal with the humanness of this mass of 3 million people down there that were throwing a wild party and had turned against God. Yet Moses was able to somehow bring them back, as we're going to talk about here, into a place of receiving what God had for them. And I think that's what it takes. It takes sometimes people being able to keep a cool head and not lose it entirely when those around us have lost it, you know?
Well, I think if you look over to verse 30 in 32:30, the next day, and this is skipping ahead, I realize, but the next day Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin.
Right.
But now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin."
Absolutely.
I think that happens in our own lives when perhaps we don't realize that we have committed a grave sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But someone who is preaching to us and teaching to us, and someone who is a mentor to us, or to whom perhaps we have been a mentor, sits down and says, "We need to talk."
Right, right.
Because you've stepped out of line. You've lost
right.
your focus. And the focus being your light shining with God's light.
Absolutely.
Him always lighting the way.
Well, and you're right about taking us over there to that second place where Moses has an intercession with God. Intercession means to stand in the gap for somebody, to pray for them, and to do what you can do in ministry to them, but also especially in prayer for them. And this is what Moses did here in Exodus 32:31. And he goes to God and he goes, "You know, this is terrible. This people have sinned. They've done all this. But God, you need to forgive them. Please forgive them." You know, and it's so cool because what Moses is doing is drawing on the nature of God. And
the forgiving,
nature,
loving,
yes.
nurturing nature of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The merciful God.
Yes, that is what Moses is banking on. Do you ever need that in your life, Nan? That forgiveness, that mercy, that grace?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, because we all... I tell you, that reminds me of Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And what we're teaching on today is the glory of God. And that verse just really speaks to this situation. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
We, you know, if his yeah. tears filled the earth because of all of our shortfalls and all of our ignorance and all of our defiance, the flood would have already come again, because his tears would fill this earth to overflow.
Right, it would. And so, yeah, so God forgives. He forgives, and that's what Moses was doing here in intercession. He was saying,
"Wait a
minute,
God." Something I would like to bring out at that point is this. While he forgives us, it is not and should not become a general practice of ours to commit an act of less than being spiritual and then go flippant, "Oh, he'll forgive me."
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can't be contrite about that forgiveness.
Well,
that forgiveness is mercy, and it is grace. And we need to be very aware of the fact that when we commit an act that is not of his liking or following his laws and following a life led by him, we need to be truly repentant when we ask for his forgiveness, and don't take it as a 10-cent pay out of town.
Right. Absolutely. And I think you're right about that. So often we take his grace for granted and his forgiveness, which it is always there for us. But it's a matter of attitude. And God always looks at the attitude of our hearts to see, are we sincere? Do we mean that? Or are we just buying fire insurance? You know, we talk about that a lot about here about salvation. Some people, it's not a serious life change. It is simply they don't want to go to hell. So they will make that declaration of faith.
And part of it, when they make those declarations, you've seen it, I've seen it, the whole world has seen it. They've gone to church perhaps someplace. Maybe they've gone there several times with a friend, a pal, a buddy, a lover, a husband, wife, whomever. And they go there, and people are going up front to receive intercessory prayer, to receive a life committed to Jesus Christ, and to make that declaration public. And sometimes people feel pressured to go up there because you look to your left and your best friend is taking that walk with tears streaming down their face, and you're going, why am I not feeling this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, maybe I should go up there because my best friend just went.
Right.
God knows the difference.
Exactly, he does. And so what you're saying, Carol, is that it's got to be out of a sincere heart that we come to.
Can't be contrite.
Right. Well, we've got to come before God and we've got to say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And basically, Moses was that kind of a guy where he was very aware of the sins of the people, but yet he loved the people to the point that he was willing to intercede for them. Nan, comment on that, what she's talking about there.
Well, Moses was a leader.
Right.
You're a leader.
Right.
And I know that you intercede for your people.
I do.
You're there praying intercessory prayer for us.
Absolutely.
You know? So you kind of do like Moses does.
Well, that's cool.
Well,
and yes, I do.
Call the prayer line or make their request known, be it by telephone, be it by personal contact, or be it by the internet.
Right.
Those things are very serious, as
they
you mentioned earlier, Nan.
Yes.
They're very serious.
Yes.
There's someone's heart is wounded.
Right.
Someone is lost.
Right.
Someone feels like they're a failure. Someone feels like they can't go on. And for those prayers to come and for to sit down and write them.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my own situation, when I write them, I don't just look at it and go, oh, well, there's Pollyanna Pigtails asking for her dog's toenail not to bleed.
Yeah.
That isn't it. When I sit down and I write those prayers that have been sent, I pray about it. I said, Lord, I don't know the situation. I don't know what they need. If you will help me. And I know that I'm being an intercessor at that time. And when those things get sent, when I push that go button,
right,
everybody that comes in contact with that message becomes an intercessor.
Right, because we are reading that prayer and agreeing about that situation.
And then other people I know, when they see the situation, they read the prayer written, I know that many of them bow their head and implore God to do more than what is written, to be more than what that person needs.
Absolutely. And the point is, like Moses was doing, being that go-between, that's the intercessor, being that go-between from the person that has that need and leading them to a point where they feel the glory and the presence of God. And you do feel that way that's what happens when people go and write these praise reports. It's like, wow, God came through. Look what happened. And so they are closer to the very presence of God because of what they've experienced through that intercession. And that's, Nan, you got a comment to that. I can see your eyes.
I was thinking that there's times that, you know, that God has led me to pray for somebody.
Yes.
There's been some times that he's actually woken me up in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
And gave me a poem for them.
Right.
You know, so, and in fact, sometimes in the poem, it's enlightening as far as what to pray for them, which is kind of interesting.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I thought of. That,
yeah.
You know, there are times he will wake us up, you know, to get us up or keep us up or something so that we, you know, can intercede for other people.
Well, he set this whole situation up where we as children of God are dependent on him,
mm-hmm.
and we are somewhat dependent on each other for the prayer support that we need, you know? And that's what happened here in Exodus 32. These children of Israel had really messed up and really not seen the glory of God. Moses was up there on the mountain experiencing the glory or the presence, the splendor of God, the amazing part of just being in the presence of God. Wow. And these children of Israel were down having a party and being in rebellion and being really not even wanting the presence of God. They just wanted an object that they could bow down to and dance in front of and all of that.
Well,
I mean,
that object,
amazing rebellion.
Absolutely held no expectations of them.
Oh, that's a good point, Carol.
Ooh,
no,
that's good.
No expectations
for
them. It's an inanimate object that you cannot expect to respond to any way.
It's a good point.
So there's people like that sometimes because they don't want the admonition of the living Christ, who simply may look at you with disdain on his face. If you can, in your hours of need, when you're being flippant about something, if you can just close your eyes and kind of imagine how he's looking at you like, oh, my child, my child, my child, have you missed the boat again?
Right, yeah.
Those inanimate objects don't do that. Nothing is expected of them. Everything is given to them. Now, I maintain if you have an idol that's made of gold, diamond, silver, whatever, somebody's got to sweep that altar plate clean.
Yeah.
Well, somebody profits from that.
Right, exactly.
You cannot profit from the word of Jesus Christ. There is no profit monetarily coming to you because of it.
Well, it's just a matter of learning to get close to him and become all that he wants you to become and to experience his presence. And that's what we're talking about. We've got another Terry McCallum song here.
Glad you're playing the glory. Terry McCallum
today. It's great. It's great. It's all the glory.
And you're here.
that song. Oh, the glory of God's presence. That is what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. The very glory of God. And Moses was experiencing this on the mountain. And we need to get to that place where we begin to experience the glory and the presence of God. Nan, when we get to that place, I don't know about you, but like happened today, a beacon of hope, and we are just caught up in the worship and the praise of God. What is it doing? What is it doing?
It's really lifting. It lifts me up. You know, if I go in, I was having some physical situations I was dealing with this morning. Satan was really fighting me this morning not to be there. I didn't mention that to you, but it was. And just, I mean, got there and just lifted up my spirit and just praising his name and in his presence. And it just, you just get downright happy. You know, just get downright happy because, you know, he's just so awesome and he's there.
Oh, and that's what we're talking about here today. And the children of Israel missed that glory. And so Moses had to intercede for them. Carol, the glory, the presence of the Lord. Don't you just love that Terry McCallum song right there? Oh, the glory of his presence. Wow. Is she there?
It just is so gentle, and it speaks to you in such a loving, kind way.
Right.
And it allows you to become emotionally involved with it.
Amen.
And to close your eyes and know that you are standing in the presence of the Holy God.
Amen.
You ask him to come into your life. When you ask him to sit with you in any situation, I often say this to people, that when your situation becomes more dire than you can handle or want to deal with or have the knowledge or the spirituality to deal with, call on the presence of Jesus
Christ.
Amen. The two of you standing together or sitting together are, at that point, the majority in any situation.
Oh, amen. That's what he wants to do.
Well,
go ahead, Nan.
Something Carol said made me kind of remember something that occurred in the service this morning. You know, the anointing was really on the praise group. We keep saying that every Sunday, but thing is, it is.
Yeah.
And we reached such a point in that.
Yes.
That, you know, you got up there saying a couple things, and then it was just silence.
Yes, there was just silence.
It was just this reverence going on.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, they were just like waiting on when should we resume singing.
Right.
But it was just that quietness time, just praising the Lord.
And that was
special.
His presence, his glory right there, shining down and actually ministering peace to people around the room. You know, that's, and we need to desire. Here's the point we need to make, guys. We need to desire the presence and the glory of God, not just in our services, but in our own personal time with God, our own devotional time. And we need to say, God, I'm going to put all this other stuff in my life over to the side, kind of put it over here by the curb for a while, and come into a place of meeting with you, which is what we were talking about last week on the radio. That tent of meeting where we come to God and we say, God, it is a priority. Mm-hmm. It is the priority in my life today to have a meeting with you, mighty God. Carol, this is what we've really been emphasizing around Beacon of Hope, this time of meeting with God, because that's what Moses did, and that's why the glory of God fell upon him so amazingly. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I know what you're saying, and I think that when we stand, we must learn to stand quiet in the presence of God.
Yes.
In the presence of Jesus.
Right.
And speak not, because to speak violates the moment that he has interacted with us, that he is interacting with us.
Right.
He doesn't need to hear our opinion. We need to stand silent and listen and feel and indwell ourselves with his spirit as he becomes one with us. And to speak words to anyone else about it at that moment is to violate that sacred time that he has just given us.
Yeah, there are times where we go to God and we talk, and there's times to be quiet. Go ahead, Nan.
You know, we have faithful leaders every other Thursday. And so this past Thursday, instead of having faithful leaders, you know, well, you didn't really give us an assignment, but you encouraged us to, during that time, have a meeting with God.
Right.
So I'm busy doing stuff, and I look, it's 7 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's time to have a meeting with God. And like Carol was just saying, sometimes you just wait.
Yes.
And I just sat there, and I said, okay, God, this is my time with you, and blah, 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 whatever. And I'm just going to wait on you. And I did, and he inspired some pretty cool stuff to me that I type. I mean, I was there with my computer, and I just typed it. And that was because of waiting on him and making a meeting, having a meeting with my God.
Have a meeting.
And listening to what he had to say to me.
Absolutely.
So it was pretty cool. And I see more and more of that happening in my life. You know, I have, my living situation has changed, and so now I'm in a place all by myself.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful time right now because he let me know just yesterday that now you can really concentrate more on you and I. You don't have the interference of anyone around. You have a 21-year-old son who is attending college right now, and, you know, so I don't have anyone in there to interfere with or feel an obligation to spend time with or anything. I set, you know, can set my own schedule aside from work, and just spending time with him is not going to be
that,
my parka.
What is that doing for you?
It's making me stronger in the Lord.
Absolutely.
It's making me fall in love with him more and more than I ever have before. And I'm listening to him, you know, and just, it's I'm feeling stronger.
Right.
I'm feeling like I'm a stronger Christian because of what's happening in my life right now.
Absolutely. So, Carol, when we have these times in our life that we have doubts and worries and fears, like the children of Israel did because Moses had been out of view for 38 or 39 days, they chose the path of, well, let's pick a new God. Let's build a new God. And we know that is not the answer. But a lot of times people do that in the form of their priorities getting so messed up, you know, getting sidetracked and not taking time to spend time with God, instead just doing some new hobby or whatever. Nothing wrong with hobbies, but let's make sure there's time for God. Do you know what I'm saying there, Carol?
I do, and I think people have more gods than they'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. They don't bother to get up and go anywhere to worship on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever time they might find a place. They don't have a place in their home where they can be silent and read and ask God and to pray and to open their Bible and say, show me what I must know today.
Right.
Take the wisdom of Solomon and show me what I must know today and what I must do today. But we can find time to go take care of these other gods that we have established. We may not have built a golden calf, but we have drugs, we have sex, we have alcohol, we have gambling.
Right.
And then the list is ad nauseum.
Yeah.
It gets so large.
Right.
We can find time for all of that. We can find time to be terribly critical of other people. We can find time to violate the Sabbath, which he says over and over in Exodus, keep holy the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I built the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, I rested.
He wants us to do some resting, yeah.
When our resting comes, it's when he feels more comfortable in speaking to us because our mind is open. I'm not having to get up and run to a job on Sunday.
Right. Well,
I don't have to spend my time wondering if I don't get to that job, is Walmart going to fire me?
Right, exactly.
I could give a flip less about what they do to me on Sunday. I figure if I'm working, which I'm not, by the way, folks, I've retired after 30 years teaching school, but if I were to go to a different job thinking, I've just got to find a way to make ends meet, I've just got to get this kid through college, I've just got to get this house payment, I've just got to get that new car, I love that new outfit. If I find my day being spent in that way, it is not thinking about him. If I find on Sunday, and Sunday in our house is a very quiet day.
Right. Yeah.
We spend our time as individuals doing what is necessary for us to connect to God.
Right. And that's what you're saying.
You know, they can drive past my house, and I'm sitting out there underneath an oak tree.
Right, exactly, spending time.
And the reason I'm out there under that oak tree is because his birds are singing. They're telling me of his glory.
Exactly.
The flowers are blooming. They're showing me his glory.
Amen. Amen.
The earth is green. The earth is new. It's bright. There's a new hope in the air. There's a new hope rising up in me as I'm sitting there watching the earth speak and sing and magnify his glory.
And that's when you're having those times of meeting with God, which is so amazing. We're going to come.
Yes, and I find that the rest of my 6 days go pretty good.
Absolutely.
Seventh day belongs to him.
We're going to come back and talk about this more in the next hour. But I want to take just a second and remind each of you out there about the things that we have available to you. We mentioned earlier in the show the prayer line, 24/7, 365 prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Use it. Feel free to use it. Write it a prayer request. It will be answered. A prayer will be written and sent out. And you will see that God does answer prayer in a mighty way. What happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope, Nan? It's amazing around Beacon of Hope on Wednesday night. I love Wednesday night.
I love Sunday too, though.
They're just different.
Things I look forward to in the week. We have prayer meeting and Bible study. And during prayer meeting, people share their prayers and share their praise reports. That's why we hear a lot of praise reports on Wednesday night.
We sure do.
And then we pray the word over all that. And then we move into a Bible study. And we have wonderful open, interactive Bible study.
Yes.
And we can ask questions. I do. We can ask questions. And then for those who want to stay, there's music practice afterwards.
Right.
And then you get like a little prelude of what's going to be happening on Sunday. It's pretty cool.
So exactly.
Wednesdays are great at Beacon.
It really is. And we've got prayer groups now, individual prayer groups. We've got actually the church divided up into several prayer groups. So we do that for 15 minutes or so at the end of Bible study. And I think you've got one of the prayer groups. And I think it's really a great tool, isn't it, for people to get to know each other.
Yeah, they're getting to know each other. And I overheard someone asking one of the others, like on Sundays, well, what happened with such and such? They had been praying for that need.
Right.
And they saw. So it's adding extra closeness that you're in the small group situation.
Yes.
And you're getting to know each other a little bit through the prayer requests and the praise reports and the things that are also shared in those prayer groups.
It's really a powerful tool. So
it really is.
Yeah. And so we have a wonderful time on Wednesdays, and that is 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And we look forward to Wednesday every week. It starts, prayer meeting actually starts at 6:15, Bible study at 7, and prayer groups at 8:15, and praise and worship practice at 8:35.
That's fantastic. Well,
it's a crazy night. Go ahead.
People bring dinner because many of us come from work.
That's
And so they just come in and bring their dinner and sit down and eat.
We have tables set up
for
Bible
study. People want to bring in food and heat in the microwave, whatever. They do that too. Then we just have a good time.
Yeah. And Sundays we have a full service with the praise band, which is amazing, amazing music and teaching, preaching the word and ministry to people. The Blue Line. What happens on the Blue Line? Carol,
cool
you probably
things.
Remember the Blue Line from our days back a few years back. That line of commitment up there in front of the altar. There's a lot of ministry that happens there.
Yes, there is.
Yep. Yeah, and we see a lot of people set free come up for prayer, specific prayer needs. This morning there was a whole lot going on up there. It was amazing.
It was.
Yeah. So
there's a lot going on in people's lives, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
Maybe it's when they come to the Blue Line, maybe it's just a glorious thing. You know, we have seen people filled in the Spirit at the Blue Line.
Right.
And it's because I think they realized the power of God that changed their moment from whatever was the angst into whatever is the glory of God shining through.
Amen. Yeah.
Basically, I was thinking about some people maybe who don't know, the Blue Line is basically symbolic of an altar. So they're coming up to the altar for prayer.
Exactly, you know? Because our altar space is limited where we are.
Right.
And blue represents healing, too.
Healing.
So, yes, so it is representative of the altar, absolutely. Let's get some station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
All right. Great. Okay, here we are in our second hour, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are glad you've joined us. If you are just joining us, you can catch this show on our website in a couple days. And then they stay there. And that is beaconofhopeministries.com. So it's a good way for you to invite somebody, friends, relatives, any part of the world, of course, because it's on the internet, on our website, and they can go and catch a show and be encouraged with the word. And that's a whole lot of fun. I don't know about you, Nan, but I love doing this radio ministry. And tell them what's happening, Nan, April 15th, coming up again.
Income tax day.
No. Not that. That is true.
That is true. The celebration of our fifth
anniversary
of this show.
This show, fifth year.
5 years.
Wow.
That's
we started on April, actually, it was 17th that year of 2007. So that was our first show. And so we'll be talking more about it that day. We're going to have a big party at the church right after service that day. We're going to have a big dinner and celebration and then carry that celebration right over here and have our normal two-hour show just excitedly thanking God for these 5 years on this radio station. Last week I mentioned it, and the owner of the show, of the radio station, was here. And when I walked out after the show, she was we embraced, we hugged, and she said, "I can't believe it's been 5 years." I said, "I know, it's just amazing to me that it's been that long, right here in this chair, right here at this table.
Holiday in, holiday out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's Christmas.
You were here Christmas Day.
I was. Yes, and New Year's Day. Yeah,
New Year's.
So some days it hits like that, but it's just such a wonderful joy to be able to minister to people through this type of ministry.
You know, I've gone back and listened sometimes to some of your hearing you speak, and I believe it's just the anointing on you, not just the anointing, but the anointing on you. Hearing you speak is comforting to me.
Is it?
Yeah, when I hear you teach, it's comforting to me. And so what I'll do sometimes is I have actually gone back and picked out a show and listened because it's soothing to me.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just
cool.
You know, hearing your voice and hearing you speak, hearing you teach is
that's great.
Soothing.
So go to our website.
Go to the website. Pick out a show. Go for it.
Yeah. BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. I couldn't wait to hear, to play this show from you, for you, this next song. Let me just repeat what I just said and say it correctly. From Lakewood Church, Show Me Your Glory, and then we'll get back in the Word in a minute.
Lord, here I am.
Praise God. I love that song. I love that song. We are in Exodus 33. Let's go there for a moment and let me set this up. Why Moses said those very words. That title of that song, Show Me Your Glory, is exactly the phrase that Moses said here in Exodus 33. He had been meeting with God in verses 7 through 10 of Exodus 33 in the tent of meeting. And people stood outside the camp and they would watch Moses go to this tent of meeting. The tent was put outside. And they would watch as Moses entered the tent. I'm in verse, 8 or 9 of Exodus 33. And whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud, which was God, descended to the entrance to the tent, and God spoke with Moses. All the people would see the pillar of cloud at the entrance to the tent. They would stand at attention. Then they would bow down and worship, and each man at the entrance to his tent. And God spoke with Moses face to face, as neighbors speak to one another. When he would return to the camp, his attendant, the young man Joshua, would stay behind. He would not leave the tent because Joshua was learning what it meant to be in the presence of the Lord. And now let's skip over to verse 14 of Exodus 33. So God is telling Moses, all right, you're going to take a trip here. You're going to lead your people, this people, into the promised land, which we know was really only 11 to 13 day journey. However, it took these people 40 years. Not 11 to 13 days, which it should have taken. It took them 40 years because they continued to sin and continued to go around the same mountain over and over again. And we need to talk about that in a minute because we all do that. And God said to Moses in verse 14 of Exodus 33, my presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, then call this trip off right now. And you know what? That's what we need to be saying. God, if you're not leading me and guiding me, I don't want to do any of this. Mm-hmm. I want to go forward only with your presence, with your anointing, with your glory leading the way. That's what Moses was saying here. Excuse me. And God was really reassuring Moses. I'm not leaving you. You're going to be traveling with me. I'm going to travel with you. So in verse 17 of Exodus 33, God says to Moses, all right, just as you say, this also I will do, for I know you well, and you are special to me, and I know you by name. And God tells us so many times in the word that he knows us by name. He knows who we are. He's leading us. He's guiding us because he knows us. And here in Exodus 33, verse 18, I love this. This is the song. The song was written from this verse, the one we just played. Moses said, please let me see your glory. In the King James, doesn't it say, show me your glory?
Show me thy glory.
Show me thy glory. That's what he wanted to see. That song that we just did, show me, God, show me your presence, the glory. Show me your splendor. Show me who you are, God. Let me see what you're made of. Let me see your character. Let me see your goodness. And I love this because in the Message Bible in verse 19, God says and responds, when Moses says, show me your glory, God responds in Exodus 33:19, and God said, I will make my goodness. And that's what we've been talking about in this whole series. God's goodness. I'm going to make it pass right in front of you. I'll call out the name God right before you. I'll treat well whomever I want to treat well. I'll be kind to whoever I want to be kind. And then he says, you can't see my face here right now, but you're going to see my glory. And what he does is he hides Moses in Exodus 33, 21 to 23. He said, stand right over here. Put yourself on this rock. Well, we know the rock is Jesus, right? God is the rock. When my glory passes, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I'll take my hand away and you'll see my back, but you won't see my face. It's not that people had not seen God's face, because they had. What this is referring to, and sometimes we hear people say, oh, you can't see God's face. God sent his son Jesus to this earth. And we saw his face. And we have seen a description of God's face in Revelation chapter 1, that when Jesus comes back, what his face is going to look like. So it's not that we cannot see his face. This is talking about God was saying, you need to see the glory. And if I show you this glory, it's going to so affect you that I better just let you look at my back, not my face, because the glory of God is so intense. Now, here's my question to both Carol and Nan. We need to get to a place in our lives, our spiritual lives, where we spend enough time with God that we begin to experience his glory, where we say to him, show me your glory. I want to see what you're made up of, God. I want to see what you're all about and what you want to do in my life. I don't know about you, but that's the cry of my heart. And that is what God is saying here to Moses. You need to see my glory because it's going to change you. You know, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nan, and then Carol can comment on that.
Well, Moses was in the presence of the Lord.
Yes, he was.
And when we have our times where we're in the presence of the Lord, I mean, it's just, I don't want to say overpowering. It's
amazing.
It's overwhelming. It's
overwhelming.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and we can be in the presence of the Lord in church, as if we,
right.
Like we had this morning, or especially in your quiet time.
Right.
When you set up a meeting with God, as
exactly.
You just set up a meeting with God. Spend that quiet time.
Yes.
And then that's when you hear him and see him.
And see him. And like some of the times in worship and praise, when you feel God's presence so strongly, it reduces you to tears. And
right.
Sometimes people are sitting down. They can't even stand up anymore mm-hmm. because they are so filled with the glory and the presence of God. Carol, mm-hmm. you want to comment on that and what that does to you, how it changes you?
Well, I'm going to read from Matthew 5:16, because I know that in my own life, I want God's glory to shine through.
Amen.
Not for me. I don't want to, you know, I'm the messenger.
Right.
I may be the, for lack of a better word, prophet for the hour, prophet
right.
for the minute.
Right.
Because I speak the words of the Holy Father as he gives them to me. I write them, I speak them, I try to live them.
Right.
So we want everything to be visible. His glory, his goodness, his mercy, his
right.
grace, his love. Matthew 5:16 lets me know that says, let your light so shine before men that mm-hmm. they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Right.
Not the good deeds that Carol might do, because Carol's not doing them for Carol.
Right.
Carol's doing them for God's glory to shine through.
Exactly.
Whatever the situation somebody brings to me by telephone, personal note, email, whatever, however they contact me, and ask me to be with them in that moment, in that gap, spiritually.
Right.
I never want it to reflect on me.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's doing it. I am an intercessor. I am a person who hears God's words and then tries to put them into other people's lives by the way that I react with them, the way that I speak to them, the way that I try to teach them, the way that I personally live. So my goal in life should be so that I could live when people know me well enough that they would say, God is glorious. Not Carol is glorious. God is glorious. You can see the glory of God in Carol's life. You can see the glory of God in Carol's spirituality. You can see the glory. It's all about the glory.
It is.
It's all about the glory of God. And you know, in Isaiah, in the sixth chapter, the little seraphim says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God
amen.
Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Yes, amen. The whole earth.
And my favorite Bible song, church song, from the time I was 3 years old, and it still to this day brings me to tears. I don't care where I am when I hear it. And I must say, in the most important parts of my life, when I needed to know that God was standing with me, for whatever the reason, and they've all been good things, his glory shines through in the song, Holy, 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 Lord God
Amen.
Almighty.
Great song. Absolutely.
Heaven and earth is full of your glory.
Absolutely, and it is. And you're exactly right about that. And when we get to that point that we want, we desire, we seek the presence of God in our lives to the extent that we are willing to be changed by that glory, then the amazing things happen. It reminds me of Moses. If we were to go on a couple chapters over and what happened to Moses when he would be up there with God. Let's see. I found it. Wasn't even looking for it, but I turned right to it. In Exodus 34, it says that Moses, verse 28, was with God 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat any food. He didn't drink any water. And he wrote on the tablets, because after Moses broke the tablets, God did a do-over. And he told Moses, I want you to get some stone ready, bring it up to the mountain, because we got to write them again. You know, and God did it. And I love that analogy, because God is the God of the second chance. Oh, God is the God of the fresh start, right?
Thank goodness.
Do we need that?
We need that, Pastor.
All right. In verse 29 of Exodus 34, Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two tablets of the testimony. This was the new set of Ten Commandments. The first set Moses had thrown down in a fit of anger. And we understand that. But that is. But God said, oh, that's all right. I'm going to write them again. So Moses comes down in Exodus 34 with the new set. And there's something about his face. Nan, I want you to read verse 29 and 30 of Exodus 34, because it's going to tell us about the face of Moses, and the because he had been in the glory of God. Go ahead.
And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to come unto him.
What? Because he had been in the presence of God.
He had a face like they described.
He had a facelift. He had a facelift.
I'd be afraid too.
Carol, can you believe that? I mean, it is so wonderful that spending that kind of quality time with God changed the way Moses even looked, because he was in the presence of God. Amazing.
Well, if his presence of God is shining back onto his face, and then he goes to a pool of water and sees that radiance, then he has seen the face of Jesus.
Right, yeah, exactly. And really, let's translate that, both of you, into our daily lives. When we spend quality time with the Lord, and we say, God, show me your glory, show me your presence, show me your holiness, show me who you are, what you've made of, the way you feel towards me, God, show me how much you love me. Show me your plan for my life. When we come to God in that framework, that mindset, what does it do to us, Carol? I mean, when we come seriously seeking God, how does that change us? That's my question.
Old things pass away and new things begin, and
okay,
new things take over in your life, and you see a quality of life that has been there all the time that you've been on earth, but you never recognized it because it didn't include you, because you opted out of having that good choice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You had other golden calves that you needed to be with.
Right.
And those
exactly.
Golden calves did nothing with you but teach you to be fearful, teach you to be dishonest, teach you to look negatively at everything in the world, teach you not to see color anymore. But when you have been drawn into the presence of Jesus Christ by a life that has you have chosen now to walk with him, all of his glory shines throughout. The sky is bluer. The trees are greener. The earth is new. People are different. They come to you. They're different than the people that you used to associate with or tried to associate with
right.
you. You seek a commonality
right.
of people that are a blessing to you and to whom you can be a blessing through the
exactly.
work and the love of Jesus Christ.
Exactly, yes.
It's a different world.
Well, you find that your closest friends and the people you want to spend time with are the ones that are on that same page with you, the ones that understand what it means to seek the Lord. Nan, comment on that, how important that is in our daily life and how that changes us, that seeking him and seeking his glory, wanting to see this very thing in our lives.
Well, I can only relate to it personally is what's happening in mine.
Yeah, go ahead. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Go right
okay.
ahead.
Yeah.
Relate to it personally.
Relate to it personally. Okay. I'm at a new place in my life
mm-hmm.
right now. I'm learning more about him, and literally being able to reside in a place by myself is part of his plan right now.
Right.
In fact, it was interesting. Yesterday I was spending time with him, and we're all on a journey. We all have a journey. We're all on a journey. We're all traveling our own road that he has set before us if we're trying to follow him. He let me know, you are now going to be on a journey.
Right.
And he reminded me of some of the things that he's led me to do in the past, and, you know, different little trips and all that stuff that you know about, you know, just things. He said, you're going to be on just a journey. Just look at every day as a new journey.
Wow.
Look at the next thing that you're going to be doing as just part of your journey.
Yes.
It's a really concentrated time of journeying, but it's getting to know my God. To listen to him more and more.
Yes.
I hear him, but I could also hear him more and more.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Could, you know, and so that's what personally is happening with me right now. I'm on a journey, Pastor, and I'm excited about it because I'm getting to know him.
You're getting to know him.
And a lot of that comes from the teaching that we're receiving, that he's giving through you to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of that is coming
Praise
from.
God.
Setting a meeting time for him. Setting, you know, the glory of the Lord, how to get in the glory of the Lord. You know, all that adds to that, and it's exciting. I mean, I almost can't wait to hardly, I'm not really looking forward to going back to work because I had this last week off, but going to work, just knowing that people are going to be able to see a difference in me.
Exactly.
Because I have spent time with the Lord.
That is it right there. We're going to come back and talk about that in a minute, but let's listen to this Casting Crown song, Glorious Day.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's come. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. He's living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Praise God. I love that Casting Crowns song. One day he is coming back. Oh, glorious day. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 a moment. I just feel led to go there. Verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. I love the way the Message Bible says this. I'm going to say those two verses again in the Message Bible. And here it is. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Carol, that's what this is all about. When we are in difficult circumstances like Moses found himself in, when the children of Israel had Aaron make that calf, when it looked like all of their hopes and dreams are going down the tube, and yet God eventually, not only does he remedy the situation, but Moses sees God's glory. And it's when we're in these difficult circumstances. What does God want to do, Carol, in us to change us as we enter into that place of experiencing his glory? What happens? What happens?
He calls us his own, and he shows us our life path. And he tells us it's going to be fun, and it's going to be difficult, and it'll be times of joy and times of sorrow. And I fall back on Ecclesiastes 3.
Yeah.
When it tells us there's a time for everything. And
right.
As we go through the seasons of recognizing a need for Christ and a need to live with him, for him, then we need to fall back and remember there's a time to be born and a time to die and a time to be silent, a time to speak. And I'm just taking these out of context as I remember them.
Right.
And a time for war and a time for peace. And sometimes that war, I find, rages within our own souls. When we are faced with the challenges of not living in God's world, or someone who is trying to prevent us from living in the world with God, those are times of war within our own souls. And then we pick up scripture and we start praying and we start asking and we start learning and we start teaching and we start hearing and our associations change.
Right.
And then it becomes a time of peace for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a time to embrace what God has given us.
Exactly.
He's not going to give me the same thing he gives anybody else.
Right.
He's going to give me what I need.
Exactly.
When I need it, and because I need it, and if I need it.
Right.
I can write my own prescription for happiness, but unless his name begins every sentence that I write, that God will be, God will do, God will be glorified, unless I write my own prescription for happiness with his name, it's a useless prescription.
Yeah, God's got to be that center. He's got to be the glory and the lifter of our heads, what David said in Psalm 3, that song we started out with. And what we just read here, Carol, what you just said goes right along with this in the Message Bible. This is a spiritual refining process. And when we allow God to make the changes in us, then the glory of God, it says here in the Message Bible, there's glory just around the corner. Nan, talk about these changes in our lives and why we want to experience the glory. Why did Moses say, show me your glory, show me your presence? Why was that so important? Why is it so important to have glory come to us right around the corner?
Well, I just want to see his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of my trials,
right,
I want to see his glory. When things are going good for me, I want to see his glory. I just want to see him because Jesus loved me so much, he gave his life
right,
for me.
Exactly.
And I love him.
Right.
I love him. I want to just dwell in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And there again, I keep relating back to living by myself, but I was experiencing some of that yesterday. It was like, well, am I going to watch TV or... You know, I'm not going to worry about TV.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't turn it on, you
right,
know, and just went back in my bedroom and just spent time with God. You
right.
know? not to say TV's bad, and I've got DVR on there, and I'm taping all kind of programs that I don't want to watch, but it's looking like I'm not going to have a lot of time to watch them because I'm spending time with the Lord. But when I'm not, you know, when I want to watch them, they will be there for me.
Exactly.
They will be waiting for me. But I just want to spend time with God and get
to
know His glory.
That's a change that's going on the inside of you. It's happening in you because you're desiring that glory. The changes that took place on Moses' face were because he was experiencing the glory of the Lord, which is His presence, His splendor, where He reveals Himself. I'm going to come to you, Carol, for a question here at the end of 1 Peter 4. The last verse says in the Message Bible, 1 Peter 4. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing, and He'll keep on doing it. I propose that God's glory begins to shine in us as we recognize that in our own strength, we can't fix our issues. We can't fix our problems. We have to allow God and His presence, which is His glory, to begin to work in us and change us into His image. And that's why Moses looked like his face had changed entirely, and it was radiant because Moses was spending that quality time with God, and it was reflected on his face. Carol, you have a comment about that?
Well, that's what I said earlier. You know, when we have stood in His presence, and I don't necessarily mean that physically we have stood in His presence, we have stood in His presence spiritually.
Right.
We have asked Him to indwell us.
Right.
And when we do that, our countenance changes.
It
our whole body changes.
Yeah.
Our body language changes. Certainly
right.
The look on our face, our countenance changes. And then if we were to go to a pool of water, as I had said about Moses, and look in that water, we would see the glory of God reflected back
right.
at us.
Yeah.
Because that's the change He puts into us. No longer are we what we were before we encountered Him at a very personal level. We see Him reflected in us. We hear it in our speech. We feel it in our humanity, our love of other people. We feel it in our being generous, when previously we might not have been generous with time, money, talent, whatever.
Right.
We feel a need to let other people know He is in me and I am in Him.
Absolutely. We make those decisions to surrender to the will of God in our lives. And we say, God, I can't fix this situation. Maybe it's an old hurt or an old scenario that's come up in your life. And every time you think about it, you are depressed and anxious and upset and fearful again. And God says, wait a minute, I want you to spend more time with me so that I can minister to you in that specific area of hurt and anxiety. Go ahead, Nan, comment on what Carol just said here.
Well, my mind went to, I was listening to a Joyce Meyer teaching in my car yesterday,
okay.
and it was talking about how we look to people.
Oh, interesting.
How are they seeing us, you know?
Okay.
And if we're spending time with God, and Moses' face changed.
Exactly.
The way that it, but if we're spending the time with the Lord that we should be, you know, they were talking about, you know, you should handle stress better.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, okay, my job is real stressful. I got to go back Monday. I'm going to handle my stress better. God, you're going to help me.
Exactly.
You're going to help me because I'm spending time with you, and you're going to help me
right.
so that it can give a better witness
than
appearing so wound up all the time.
And when you don't appear so anxious and so wound up, and instead you got a smile on your face, and you take time to answer somebody's question or whatever in your busy, hectic job, that translates that there's something different about you. Mm-hmm. And maybe they may not, your coworkers or people in the school may not know what that is about you, Nan, but they know that something is different. Carol, you want to comment on that?
Well, I know in my own particular situations, I really love this song that we sing at church often and in the past, and I think it's a way of coming and letting the public know that you have come to Christ. When you begin the song, I surrender all.
We did that this morning.
I surrender.
Yes. We did that this morning, Carol, at Beacon. We did it during the praise and worship time. We did it again at the end when we were praying over people. I surrender all. Absolutely.
You know, when we surrender all,
yeah.
it means our fears, Yes. It means the things that have angered us and agitated us. It means that stress will no longer live in our lives because stress is not of God. When you feel a stressful time coming, that's when you should raise your hand and say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, that you're here with me. Thank you that you're making my heart take its beat from your heart.
Exactly.
Pull me to your chest. Let my heart walk with your heart in beats. Mm-hmm. You know what happens when you have a young puppy or a kitten or a baby goat?
Right.
When you have one of those little guys and it's stressed and it can't find mama or mama's dead or whatever the reason, if you are that lucky enough to be that farmer, that keeper of the herd, if you pick that baby up and put it where your heart is beating, his little frantic heart will begin to take the beats of your heart, which will decrease the anxiety. Sometimes when I've been filled with anxiousness, as you know, I would say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be anxious. I need to be calm. I need to be quiet. I need to feel your presence. Hold me in your arms and let my heart take the beats of your heart.
Amen.
Bring me to calmness. Bring me to peacefulness. Bring me to the hope that things will be better because you have overtaken my life. And for that, I praise your holy name.
Amen. That's a good analogy. It reminds me of when my three kids were very little. And so often a relative or a mother-in-law or somebody would try to take the child when they were fussy or whatever. And invariably, Nan, you know this from having a son, invariably that child wants the comfort. That was a good analogy, Carol.
That was good,
they
Carol.
They want the analogy. No, they want the comfort of mama's arms, you know,
right.
And
that's right.
Mama's chest, you know, right there. And get that little one right up against the mother and they feel that security. And El Shaddai, God Almighty, that's his mother nature, that mother hen nature. And he wants us to come under his wings in Psalm 91. Come under his wings, abide there, and hang out with him so that our faces will change. Our anxiety level will go down, so our fear will go down. Woo,
you know,
Carol,
that
that's good.
God just really wants us under his wing.
Amen.
He really
Amen.
Does. And I know I've told this story. I don't remember how many times, how many places, but it's a true story. And there's a mother quail, and a quail's a little speckled bird that tastes delicious if you decide to eat one of them. I don't do anymore.
Okay.
But she's a very good little mother, and she has her little babies all called a covey when they become the mamas and the daddy birds and the babies, and they make this big flock. They're called a covey. But there was a mother bird. They're ground dwellers most of the time. They lay their eggs on the ground in the wooded area, make a soft little straw bed out of whatever's close to them. And this mother quail was there with her little eggs, and she had like four little eggs. And a forest fire came. She herded her little group up to the base of a pine tree, and she put those little chicks, those little biddies, underneath her wing and spread her wings and stretched herself out so that every little bird was covered.
Wow.
And the forest fire raged, and it raged, and it came to the base of the tree. When the forestry people went out to look things over and check for injured or dead animals, they found that mother quail, and they touched her with a stick. She was gone. She couldn't move. But as they picked her up to move her, underneath the shelter of her wings were her four little babies.
Woo! Praise God.
If that mother bird can shelter those four babies in her wisdom as a bird, then Jesus Christ can shelter me and you and everybody else out there.
Oh, that's
His wings
beautiful.
Are big enough.
Absolutely.
His arms are big enough. His heart beats to the rhythm of our hearts once we join with him, and our hearts beat to his rhythm.
Amen.
And nothing can take that from us.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Amen. You are my
death, excuse me for a second. When death overcomes us and we are lost to this world, we walk across that river into the presence
Amen.
Of his loving arms. How nice does that feel?
Amen. Amen.
What a promise that is. When I leave here, when my life's last breath has been taken, I don't have to wonder where I'm going. I'm his child. I don't have to wonder, am I going to live in a fiery pit of hell? Am I going to have to listen to the angst of this world, the beyond the world that is evil? No, I'm walking into his loving arms.
Woo, praise God. You are my king by new song.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died.
Why we spend time in his presence.
Yes.
Psalm 91 that we've been talking about. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That's where we need to hang out, folks. He will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. I'm in Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover me with his feathers. I'm translating, putting the word me in there instead of you. And under his wings, I will find refuge. You can agree with that. His faithfulness will be my shield and my rampart. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord Most High my dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall me, nor will disaster come near my tent. For he has commanded his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They lift me up in their hands, lest I strike my foot against a stone. And it goes on to say that we're going to tread upon the lion and the cobra. And all of these things. Psalm 91, you need to hang out in that chapter for a while. Spend some time there because it's talking about experiencing the presence of the Lord and how it changes us. That song we just did by New Song, Amazing Love. Oh, when we begin to understand how amazing is God's love for us, it changes the way we look at things. It changes the way we look at life and our circumstances. Carol, you want to comment on that, and then Nan after that?
You can't stand in the presence of Jesus Christ in His Word.
Right.
Without being a changed individual.
Right, exactly. Yes.
He is change.
Yes.
He is life eternal.
Right.
He promises that if we love Him, keep His commandments, put our hands in His, and walk together in complete confidence and truth.
Right.
That He also will sustain us in every way we need to be sustained.
Right.
And He will bring us into the glory and the presence of His Father God when our time on this earth has been completed. We have no fear. Our lives are not lives of fear. Our lives are lives of joy and compassion and love and understanding, because that's what He gives back to us.
Amen.
He shows us no fear. He is not fearful. So any fears we might have that are attacking us, however they may, we can cast them aside because they are not of God.
Exactly. Absolutely. And we walk in this strength of being in His presence, like Psalm 91 talks about. Nan, comment on that, will you?
Well, it talks about Him being our refuge, our fortress. I thought of the very beautiful analogy that Carol shared regarding the quail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, I could think of times when God has been my fortress, having gone through three individual different times of stuff in the past, husband stuff and all that. You know, God was there, and He shielded me. He protected
right.
me. I want to put in the little added note I had just thought of. This was marked in my Bible from a previous time. There was something brought against me that was totally untrue, totally unfair. It wasn't right. And it was like, Satan, okay, watch this.
Yeah.
I told everybody about Jesus that crossed my path
right.
in dealing with that legal thing, you know?
Right.
And so God was my fortress, and He kept me.
Amen.
In the midst of that, He kept me.
He gave me
peace when, you know, I had people around me not peaceful.
Right.
About my situation, you know? And I said, yeah, His peace, because just as that quail
right.
that Carol described, He has me under His wings.
Amen.
And He is my fortress.
Woo. Whoa. Carol, do you have a comment to that before we minister to the people here?
I just know that every single word that God speaks is truth.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the peace and the calmness that comes in our life comes through His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that He sent on this earth in the shape of a dove, in the form of a dove, who once again will hold us under the Holy Spirit's wing.
Yes, amen.
We are sheltered when we are His children. When we go through bad times, tough times, yes, we will. But our faith only becomes stronger. Mm. His commitment to us becomes stronger. We recognize that He is standing in the gap for us.
Amen.
That He has put our name in the life book.
Yes.
And that we, and we alone, are the ones that can honor Him in our lives and let our lives be a shining beacon of hope
right.
to whomever
right.
might need that little tiny spark of Jesus to get the darkness out of their world and bring the sunshine, the S-O-N shine, into their life and make a big difference. Our lives should be dedicated to Him. His purposes for us are mighty and many.
Amen.
We can't qualify them.
I agree. Cedric, let's go back to track 4, You're My Glory and the Lifter of My Head, and just keep it down a little bit. I'm going to talk over it, and then you can raise it when I give you that hand signal. You're My Glory and the Lifter of My Head. Those of you out there listening today, you know, there are times in our lives where we just absolutely feel like we are alone, that we have nothing, that we have no one around us. Perhaps some of you out there are ill today. Maybe you've been given a bad diagnosis by a medical team or a doctor, and maybe you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And the Lord would say to you today, He is your glory and the lifter of your head. For Thou, O Lord, are a shield You're a shield to me against bad news, against bad reports. Bring it up a tiny bit, Cedric. You, Lord God, are the glory and the one who lifts my head. You are the one, oh God, that lifts me out of depression, out of anxiety, out of fear, out of worry. You're the one. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Let this song minister to you right now again as we pray for you. Lord, we just lift up these dear ones. Just let that play. Just make it up a little higher, Cedric. Let's take it and let the people hear it right now so they're encouraged by these words. Just a little lower. Lord, we bring before you every single one of these people that are listening today. Listen to this verse. God, you're my glory, Lord. Lord, for each one of these today that maybe have felt that terror by night that's striking at them, maybe they've awakened in the night full of fear and anxiety and stress and worry. Lord, let your glory so fill each heart, each mind, each emotion that all these people listening today that they're experiencing. Lord, let your glory come all over them in such a mighty and tremendous way that these things that would attack them and really take away their joy and their peace would diminish right now in Jesus' name, that they would be swallowed up by the glory of Almighty God. Lord, we intercede for them right now. You're my glory. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Woo, Lord, we just thank you right now for everyone that's been touched right now by the presence of Almighty God. Oh, God, it's wonderful to be in your presence. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your anointing right now on these. Carol, some final words. Nan, some final words before we do some wrap up. It's coming here very quickly now. Go ahead.
Revelation 7:1-7. Look, he's coming from the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come,
Amen.
The Almighty.
Amen. That's who's coming. Amen. Amen. And that's his glory.
And if we can accept that and believe that and put that in our heart, we shall be at peace. No Amen. Fears.
Amen. Amen.
I just like to say the best place that we can be is seeking his glory. Mm. And I would encourage the people listening to do as you have taught us to do and just make a meeting time with God. Schedule it on your calendar. Treat it like you would any other appointment. And you'll find the glory of God by
Absolutely.
Spending time with him and listening to him.
Exactly. And when Moses would come down from that presence of God in Exodus 34, his face was shining with the radiance of just being with God. And it is time for our meetings with God to so affect us that it mm-hmm. changes the way we look and we right. get a facelift.
It's a facelift.
A spiritual facelift. Yeah. And we begin to smile and just enjoy what God is doing in our lives and which we do. So we encourage you now. from Beacon of Hope as we start next week into the book of John. We encourage you to join us in reading the book of John. We will start our resurrection season radio shows. And they'll be a blessing to you. Carol, it's been great having you on. We always enjoy you from Georgia. God bless you, Carol.
Thank you very much. And may the blessings of Jesus Christ be extended to each and every person who has ears and a heart for God.
Praise God. Thank you for your time. And you're one of our regular radio contributors. So is Nan. And Nan, you're filling in today for Nathan, who is ill.
Yes.
So we speak a blessing to Nathan.
Yes, we do.
And that he get feeling better and get back on the radio with us. And so God bless each one of you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good buddies Carol and Nan, and our whole radio team.
Yep.
There's eight or nine of us now.
Yep.
And the whole gang that wants to tell you how much God loves you and how much we care about you. Reach out to us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to contact me personally, you can do that at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And I will respond to your emails. So if you have questions or concerns, you have something you'd like to share, you can reach me there. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us on Sundays at 10. We start at 10 on Sunday morning, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida. Wednesday nights, prayer meeting at 6:15, Bible study at 8, or at 7, isn't it? It's
7.
At 7,
it's
yeah,
7.
I'll get
yes,
it right
ma'am.
Here. So it's all about the glory of the Lord. It's not far to Jesus, dear ones. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week live for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.